Welcome to the Noted Podcast. This is episode number
six.
Today we're going to talk about a little bit of the Oscars, a little bit of the nominations, the big ones though, the big hits. Mostly we're going to kind of give our own awards, the Noted Awards. Each of us will give our top five favorite things from 2015. We are your hosts. I'm Luke.
I'm Murray.
And I'm DJ.
And we have some notes. This podcast is brought to you by Audible. No, it's not.
but it could be.
Wouldn't that be great if it was?
Damn it.
We're doing this for free. But it doesn't look like it. We've got a really nice setup right here. DJ took out a small loan.
Basically, I owe three kids to a bank in Zimbabwe. I don't know how I'm going to pay that.
Someone's dead. That's all I know. Because this is nice. So, we definitely are recording. It just doesn't feel real. We are doing it.
Yeah, we've been recording now for 14 minutes.
So, did either one of you... Did either of you... see the Oscars?
I did not. I was at work.
I did not. I didn't care.
Did you watch anything?
I've watched the Chris Rock's monologue.
What did you think of it?
I understand it had to be done. The race had to be handled. He brought up a lot of good points. I agree that Hollywood is racist, but not in the same ways you think of when you think racist. They don't go around, "I hate you black people." They just don't offer them.
Yeah.
They don't get as good as roles.
It's weird because I didn't agree with that. But then once I saw Creed, and then I'm late to the game on Creed. Creed came out like Thanksgiving, and I didn't see Creed until like a couple of weeks ago. But then once I found out that it wasn't, well, Stallone was nominated. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Mm-hmm. But, like, Ryan Coogler, who directed it, was not nominated for anything, and he freaking should have been, because that movie is...
movie's amazing.
It's amazing. So, yes. I can see why they feel kind of snubbed. Because Ryan Coogler, he's African-American, so, I mean...
Was Selma nominated year before?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
And didn't it, like, win a lot of stuff?
I don't remember.
That's what's weird about it is I feel like I was feeling like we were having a turnaround on that subject because I felt like, you know, you were seeing black actors get more and more things that, okay, like we had a black Johnny Storm, mm-hmm. You know, we had a black Rocky. We had a black, you know.
Yeah, I'm not calling that Chris. That's Black Rock.
That's Chris Rock joke. He's like, okay, I call it Black Rocky. But, I mean, I don't know. I felt like we was, but I guess the controversy kind of brought it to light and opened my eyes to it a little more and kind of made me realize, like, well, I mean, I guess maybe I was wrong. I don't know. Maybe they're, you know. Because he like, here's a point that he makes, and he did make an excellent point. He said, he goes, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's nominated for Best Actor. He goes, but you know, he's been nominated for Best Actor every time.
He gets a good movie every year.
He gets a good movie every year. And then he goes, look at Jamie Foxx, which I was like, oh, because he's right. Jamie Foxx is incredible.
Yep.
And he makes that joke about Ray. Mm-hmm. He's like, they went to the real Ray in a play. We don't need two of these.
You know, we were talking on a few podcasts ago, talking about actors who they just dive into a role. Johnny Depp, Leonardo, Jamie Foxx is another one that he becomes that person. And
yeah,
are we racist for not talking about him?
You know what though? I foresee people. Here's what's going to happen because I can predict the future. I really think this is what's going to happen. Next Oscars, it's going to be a totally different story. There's an orchid in here. I don't know if the mic picks that up. Safety. Anyway,
you're going far at least. At least
scream. Do it like a man.
That's some of my picking up, so we don't laugh for no reason.
Yeah, Luke.
Yeah, right. Another one of eight beans for
shit pants over there.
What was I saying?
Was Jimmy Fox nominated in Django?
Oh, I can predict the future. No, he wasn't. But wait, Leo was he?
I think Leo was for his supporting role.
Yeah, of course he was because he's white. Yeah. You know what? I'm starting to agree with these people. No, anyway, what I was about to say was, I think next year Jamie Foxx will be nominated for an Oscar because he's playing Mike Tyson in the Mike Tyson biopic movie, and dude, he will kill that.
Yeah, he will.
Because he is incredible at impressions. Like, that dude he'll knock it out of the park. So I think we'll see a different story next year.
I'll go watch that.
Yeah, anyway, so we're just going to kind of just briefly talk about just kind of, you know, the Oscars a little bit. We're going to hit the big hits, though, the big categories like best movie, best actor, best actress. Should they have, should they not have, you know, we're not going to talk about, you know, documentary, best documentary short, because who gives a crap, you know. Did you see that, by the way, the best documentary short, what Louis C.K. said? Louis C.K., we'll watch that later. Louis C.K. comes out, he's the one presenting that award.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is the most important award of the night. And everyone's just like, huh? You know, it's best documentary short. He goes, you know, the rest of you, all these other nominations, he goes, if you don't win, guess what? You get to go back to your mansions. You get to go back to your millions of dollars. He goes, all of you win. You all win. He goes, these people that's nominated this category, they have nothing. Nothing. They're nominated for best documentary short. He's like, this is it. This is the best their life is ever going to be. It's never going to be better than this.
It's true. It also sucks that he was doing it.
I mean, yeah.
Because that one of those guys was a bad one.
Damn it. It was really funny. But all right. So we'll talk about, like I said, the big hit. So we'll start with ladies first. Best actress was... So who was nominated? Kate Blanchett for what?
Carol?
I don't even know what that is.
No one does.
Brie Larson for Room, Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years, I don't even know what that is, and some first name I can't even pronounce.
Cerise?
Ronan? I like the name Ronan. For Brooklyn. Okay. So right away, I can go ahead and say one, two, three, four of these movies I've not seen.
I haven't seen all five.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them.
Okay, so when Brie Larson won for Room, I watched it because I hadn't heard of it either. I was like, what are these movies? I've never heard of any of these films. So I watched Room. Now, I can't speak for the other movies. You know, I looked up reviews for Joy. I heard it got bad reviews. So, but, you know, obviously for her to get nominated, I guess she did good. The rest of them, for any of them get nominated, I guess they did good. But
do you think the shine's come off Jennifer Lawrence lately?
Especially
after that last of the words where there was the foreign press person was looking at his phone because he had trouble speaking English. He was looking at his phone to be able to read it to ask her the question, and she starts like, chastising him and telling him to get off his phone.
Whoa, I didn't know that. I didn't even heard about
kinda,
that.
After that, people are kind of like, whoa, you know, get off your high horse.
Yeah, I've kind of heard, well, I've just kind of noticed that too. Like, it seemed like a year ago, she was all the rage. You know, she was in everything. And I noticed when the newest Apocalypse trailer came out, which, you know, she plays Young Mystique. They really show her a lot in it, in that trailer. And I noticed in the comment section of the video I was looking at, people were just like, ugh, Jennifer Lawrence, here she is, giving another inspirational speech, just like she does in the Mockingjay movies. Like, it's like people are kind of like over her in a way. I mean, I think she's fine, and she's a really good actress, but I don't know. Maybe that's what happens when you're just like in way too many movies.
Now, I don't know what it was she was complaining about or anything about, but do you remember back the Ricky Gervais monologue where he ripped Jennifer Lawrence for complaining about female actresses not getting paid as much as male actors?
Yeah, I know she made a big stink there.
Yeah, and he pretty ripped her pretty hard there. It's like, oh yeah, sorry you have to make $20 million. That's terrible.
Right, right. Which, I mean, is... good point. You know, I mean, they're still making...
It's not the same as maybe what a man's character...
I mean, yeah, I agree with that. I get it. It's they want equality. And to be fair, like, yeah, they should. I mean, like, why is it that... Because that was the thing that Amy Adams recently just came out and said, because, you know, she plays Lois Lane in the Superman stuff, and she was in a movie with Jennifer Lawrence, and what was that movie? You know what I'm talking about? David O. Russell's the director... came out last year. They had Froze. Christian Bale's in it. Oh, man. I always hate when this happens because you know someone listening is like, you freaking idiots. You know, because they know it.
I'm thinking that now. American Hustle?
American Hustle. That was the name of the movie. Yeah.
I thought of that off the top of my head.
So anyway...
I didn't see that.
They was in the movie together. I saw it. It was okay. But I love David O. Russell. I watch anything he directs. But anyway, that was the movie that Jennifer Lawrence came, like, out really public and was like, hey, we're not making as much as the men in this film. Like, Christian Bale and I think who else was in that film? Some other...
McConaughey?
Maybe. It was someone like that, like a real big male actor.
Mm-hmm.
They was making double, like way more than what the girls were making. And so that's when Jennifer Lawrence became, you know, like real outspoken about it. Well, Amy Adams was in the same film and didn't say anything. And then just recently, like I read this like 2 days ago, they, I guess, asked her about it in an interview and she said, yeah, I was pretty tore up about it. She said the director, David O. Russell, he told me to shut up and said it was just none of my business and made me feel really bad about it. And, you know, and so... you know, and she's just kind of talking about it. It's like, you know, I'm in a Superman movie and Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck are making, you know, triple what I'm making is, you know. Of course, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know.
It's Ben Affleck.
You see the shape that guy had to get in to play Batman?
It's Ben Affleck.
I mean, what do you got to do to play Lois Lane?
I'm sure that there is a difference there because of man versus woman. But we're also talking about an absolute A-lister in Ben Affleck versus Amy Adams.
You make a good point because Ben Affleck, yeah, Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper was American Hustle. Ben Affleck not only plays Batman, but he like co-wrote the movie.
Yeah.
He co-produced the movie. I mean, he had more jobs. He did more.
I'm sure that if there was a man's role in the same kind of role that she has in the movie, not very, you know, that was the same level actor, he would probably get paid more.
Right.
And that needs to stop. But just because there's a man in the movie that makes more than you, I feel that's not right. He's a lead. It's Batman versus Superman, not Batman versus Superman with Lois Lane in the title.
That's a good point because I would like to know, like, okay, how much money did you make in The Hunger Games? Because she's your star.
Exactly.
So I would assume if she was making more than anyone on that set.
If someone else on that set is making more than her.
Because they're a man.
Then there is your reason to complain.
That is wrong. Yeah. Like if the little Thor boy, I call him, you know, it's Thor's little brother. Can't think of his name. But he's in those movies.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
But, you know, like, yeah, he's like, is it Chris Hemsworth? No, Chris Hemsworth is Thor. Josh Hemsworth. That's the other one. Yeah. That's the one we don't know about. He's not an actor. He's an accountant.
Little Hemsworth.
Little Hemsworth. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, Liam. That's his name. Liam Hemsworth. Dude dated Miley Cyrus.
Liam.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, I'm going to talk about... I did see Room. Brie Larson won Best Actress for Room. You know, I do this every year. When the Oscars come around, whoever wins, I watch the movie. I've said it a million times. I've already said it on this podcast once, and I'll say it again. Natalie Portman won Best Actress for Black Swan. literally best female performance I've ever seen in my life. Now, does Brie Larson's performance in Room compete with that? I still say Natalie Portman crushed it. She's still at the top of my list in that. But Brie Larson brings it. She does a really, really good job. Do you know what Room is about?
No clue.
Okay, get ready for this crap. So I didn't know what it was about either. And I go into it blindly, which I would recommend is probably the way to go, which I know now I'm ruining it for people. So just shut this off now, I guess, if you're listening. But
just skip forward.
Yeah, just skip forward. But literally, here's what it's about. It's crazy. So it's called Room. It opens up in a room. And you're in this tiny little room. And it's this girl, woman, played by Brie Larson, with a five-year-old, her five-year-old son. And so they're trapped in this room. You don't know why. You don't know what's going on. Like, the movie doesn't give you any hints. I was thinking, like, oh, it's in the future and they're in a bunker. Kind of like what we're going to see in Cloverfield Lane or something. And I'm like, okay, so they're in some kind of, you know, yeah, I don't know, I shouldn't have brought that up. But, you know, they're, but they're, you know, but that's where my mind goes, I guess. So, you know, about 30 minutes in, dude, you feel the claustrophobia of this room. They poop in it, they eat in it, they sleep in it, they play in it, and they never leave it. Never once does the camera go outside, never. You're just trapped in this room. And then all of a sudden, at one point in the movie, there's fidgeting on the door, keys, somebody's trying to get in. Brie Larson freaks out, hides the boy in the closet. Man comes in. You're seeing the perspective of the little boy through the closet. Man comes in, rapes the woman, and leaves groceries and leaves. And you're like, whoa, what just happened? Like, that's what this movie's about? So then in dialogue, through conversation, you figure out, she's explaining to the boy that one day I was walking home and a man said, my dog is sick. Will you help me? Next thing I know, I got knocked out. I was in the back of this truck. He drove me here and threw me in this room, and I've been here for 7 years. And you're just like, whoa. I mean, it's dark. It's a dark, dark movie.
Was it based on the actual news story out of, I think it was Cleveland? But the guy had kidnapped his women and kept
Yeah, he had like no. Yeah. He had like three women.
Yeah.
And he but like yeah, like same similar. He yeah. raped them and had babies with them and all this stuff. So yeah, similar story, but not based on it. But
okay.
So anyway, this boy who I mean, this is all he's ever known. He doesn't know what a beach looks like. He doesn't know what the sky looks like. He doesn't know anything. And so he's very like he's weird, you know, as naturally as you would be. But she devises this plan of how to get them out. She gets them out of the room. I don't want to completely spoil the movie, but they get out of the room. And basically, I mean, you know, you've heard the terminology dark comedy, like a comedy that's kind of like, it's kind of dark though. It's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's kind of sick in a way. This, the way I would describe this movie, it is a dark romance because it's a dark love story, not a romance, but a dark love story where it's a love story between a mom and her son, you know, and it's a beautiful movie. It's a beautiful, so I would highly recommend it. I wouldn't let the source material scare you away because I know it's pretty heavy, but really, really good movie. I think she absolutely deserved it. Knocked it out of the park. She does a great job. She's got pretty bad PTSD from the whole thing, as one would, you know. So she gets a lot of range there as an actress. She gets to do a lot.
Hmm.
All right. Best actor? DJ?
We got Bryan Cranston from Trumbo. Never heard of that.
But great actor. Dude, yeah. Fucking bad.
Yeah, he's a very good actor in the middle. Upcomer Matt Damon from The Martian.
Yeah, he's newbie.
Leonardo. You don't even have to say his last name.
We all know
it is. We can just stop with Leo. You don't even have to say his first name.
No, you
just stop
with
Leo.
That's great.
Michael Fassbender. And Eddie Redmayne. Fassbender's for Steve Jobs. Redmayne for the Danish girl. I've only watched none of those.
Really? You didn't see...
I haven't watched Revenant or Martian.
Yeah, me either. I've been meaning to, I just haven't.
I've seen Martian, Revenant, and Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was probably one of the most boring movies I've ever seen. It's just people talking.
Right.
The Martian, and Martian's a good movie. The Revenant, Leo should have absolutely won this. I didn't see The Danish Girl, and I didn't see Trumbo, but Leo murdered this role. Like, dude, the dude freaking cuts open a horse and gets inside of it.
And that was for real.
And he really did that.
Yeah, that was for real.
He literally ate buffalo guts.
Yeah, he did all this stuff.
Give him all the Oscars.
the past 88 years.
Just give him all.
Back up.
Dude ate
except for
guts.
Jamie Foxx's, because if you do that... people will be...
We need to put a disclaimer on this episode.
You will be upset.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, quite.
There really isn't that much to say about this. I mean, it's just kind of like... I think everybody knew he was going to win. Like, everybody knew he was going to win. What were you going to say?
Probably his safety.
I'm just glad that he finally won it, because I was so tired of hearing about
the internet memes.
Man, the internet did blow up.
Well, it's been blown up for the past...
They really went to bat for him.
Like, 5 years.
That's true.
Because he's been nominated several times, and he probably should have won some of those times, because he does really well.
He brings it, everything he does.
So I was... And I like all of these actors. They're all... Everything I've seen them in,
Oh, yeah, they all kill it. Yeah.
What's Eddie Redmayne been in?
He was in Les Mis. He's really good in Les Mis.
And he won an Oscar last year. He was Best Actor for...
He played Stephen Hawking.
Yes, the Stephen Hawking movie.
Yeah, okay.
And the next movie he's going to be in is the new Harry Potter movie.
I'm sorry, but that picture makes him look like a girl.
Well, that's the movie. He's a transgender. Okay. He becomes a woman.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
Because I was like, they screwed up the picture. This was supposed to be down below.
Right.
Well, how come he didn't get selected for Best Actress?
What are you doing on this episode? By the way, give me another VR.
VR. What kind you want?
Boys.
You want to?
What are you doing on this episode? I'm trying to offend people.
Apparently.
Why?
Not really. I'm really not.
There's always that one guy on every podcast. Gotta be the controversial one.
Usually it's McMurray about being boring, but you know. No, I want to see Revenant. The reason I know that he was good in Revenant is because everybody at work, people that you never even hear about talking about movies, like the older guys, that I went out and seen Revenant this weekend. Holy crap, that movie's amazing.
Wow.
I just haven't had the chance to watch it.
I'll be honest, I mean, I don't know if any of these movies was like, you got to see it in the theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're all...
I'm definitely going to see it. And going to see The Martian. That's the two that was nominated that I want to see. I don't even know what Trumbo is about.
I don't either. But all these movies, like, you're seeing them. I can safely say this, even though the ones I've not seen, like Trumbo and The Danish Girl... But, like, these, the three I have seen, you're seeing them for the performance.
Yeah.
Like, you're not seeing them. You know, like, a movie like Avengers 2, you're like, we have to see that in theaters.
Yeah,
it just doesn't play as well on a DVD. But, like, these movies, like, you're just seeing it for the acting.
Right. Steve Jobs is the only one of these movies that I have no interest in seeing. Just, I don't care about Steve Jobs. I love Bryan Cranston, so I want to watch
What kind of phone you got?
I don't like this.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I've got a 6 Plus, Apple.
iPhone. Oh, you have an Apple? Oh, okay. Never mind. I was wondering if you...
He doesn't care about...
Well, no. Where I was going with that was, I thought he was going to say Android, and I was going to go, that's why.
No, I just...
No, he said Apple, and you're like, oh, no, that doesn't make sense.
I don't care about... I have no interest in hearing about it. I've heard about him enough.
Well, I will admit, it is a little odd people's... well, I guess it's really not that odd. I mean, after all, dude made Apple. But, I mean, it's he kind of changed our way of the way we do things. But, I mean, you know, you're kind of right. It feels like there's a Steve Jobs movie every year, it seems like.
There was
an Ashton Kutcher movie. Which, by the way, you pull up an image of what Ashton Kutcher looks like and what he looks like. You can see why they cast him.
Yeah.
Freaking looks like him.
The young Steve Jobs.
Freaking Fassbender doesn't look like him at all. But Fassbender is such a good actor that he can do anything. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so best actress, I think absolutely deserved it. Leo killed it. Now we're gonna talk about best movie. Best movie was Spotlight. I have a lot to say about this.
Let's go over the nominees.
Yeah, we'll go over the nominees.
McMurray, take it away.
We have The Big Short.
No clue what that is.
Me either. Bridge of Spies.
No clue.
Brooklyn.
No, I'm not
sure what Brooklyn is.
The one, probably my favorite movie of the year, Mad Max, Fury Road.
Good movie.
The Martian, which we've already talked about. The Revenant, which we've already talked about. Room, which we've already talked about, and Spotlight, which Luke is about to talk about.
Okay, so neither of you have seen Spotlight.
Nope.
So, obviously, it wins Best Movie of the Year. So you're like, Best Movie of the Year? I guess I'm going to watch it. I watched it before I watched Room. Big mistake. Should have watched Room first. But actually, no, I take that back. Spotlight being the hunk of crap that it is, I'm glad that I then watched Room because I was like, oh, man, thank you for pulling me out of that Spotlight misery. What's the matter?
I think McMurray's kicking the mic.
Oh.
My legs are not even moving, man.
As long as
every once in a while, that mic goes, yow, yow,
yow. Anyway, so.
Of the table.
I'll show you something that's wow, wow, wow.
Because it's not, I'm not going to say.
I don't either. So, anyway, Spotlight. Okay, here's what I will say. And this is the problem, right, with the Oscars. So you have all these movies. You have The Big Short. You have Bridge of Spies. I didn't see either one of those. I did not see Brooklyn. I saw Mad Max. I saw The Martian. I saw The Revenant. I saw Room. And I've seen Spotlight. Okay, so The Martian, you're seeing it for acting. The Revenant, you're seeing it for acting. Room, you're seeing it for acting. But now, to say a movie is the best movie, you have to look at all angles. How was the acting? How was the producing? How was the directing? How was the editing? It's a culmination of all those things.
I know
right?
what you're getting to here.
Okay, so
saying Mad Max should have won.
So what I'm saying is, does Spotlight have good acting? Yes. Is it directed well? Yes. Is it? Yes. You can check off all the boxes. On paper, it is a good. It's best movie of the year. But my issue with it is freaking painfully boring. It is the most boring movie. It's I again like Steve Jobs. It's just people talking. Nothing happens. The movie is about. It's based on a true story about the Boston Globe. Who cracked the, you know, they found out all those 75 clergymen in the Catholic Church that was raping little boys. Now, very touchy subject, you know, whatever, but it's a very real world issue that people need to know about. Here's the thing. If that's what the movie was about, it might be kind of interesting. But that's not what the movie's about. The movie's about just the people writing a newspaper. They're just talking. Like, they're just talking, and it's just people at a computer just typing. It's so boring. It would be like as if someone made a movie about us doing a podcast.
Which would be entertaining.
Which would be amazing.
I don't know where you're going with that.
Yeah, terrible. But I guess what I'm saying is I think Mad Max should have got it. Because I really think, again, when you look at it on paper, you can check those same boxes.
And you have an entertaining factor that's out of this world.
Exactly. I mean, you guys saw Mad Max. What do you think about it?
I love Mad Max. The way you're talking about Spotlight, that I want to see it. Like, because that just sounds like something that would be up my alley that I would want to watch. I know you find people talking boring.
Okay, but like that's the thing, yeah. Murray. I don't want to come across like I'm this kind of person that's like, I need three damn explosions in every movie or I'm not going to be excited.
Michael Bay's my favorite.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to come across like that because...
Where did you come in?
Because one of my favorite movies of all time, one of my favorite movies of all time is There Will Be Blood. And
I hated that movie.
There's not a lot of excitement in that film. And that's my point, though, is like, it's a well-made movie.
I will agree that it was a well-made movie, but
dude, the acting
was good, but I hated so many people in that movie. When it was over,
yeah.
I was like, thank God.
Yeah,
they're all getting so angry.
Yeah, they're terrible. But that's what I'm saying, though. It's just like, nothing happens in Spotlight. In every movie, there's three things that happen. Okay? You can narrow it down to, I don't know, like, dude gets bit by a spider. Dude gets on a costume. Dude beats the bad guy. Like, in every movie, three things. There's not three things that happen in Spotlight. The one thing happens. They write a story. That's it. Nothing. There's no progress. No one grows. It's just... Oh,
I still
dumb.
Still want to watch it. I still want to watch it.
If you watch that movie and you like it, we're no longer friends. No, that's fine. If you like it, that's fine.
I do want to see Bridge of Spies. I've heard good things about it.
I kind of want to see Brooklyn now because that chick not only was nominated for Best Movie, but she was nominated for Best Actress. So maybe
it's good. What's The Big Short about?
The Big Short, well, I'll tell you what's interesting about The Big Short besides its cast.
Yeah, it's got a really good cast there.
Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to see? But I'll tell you what's cool about it. You know who directed that movie? Adam McKay. You know who Adam McKay is? Freaking Step Brothers, Anchorman, like all comedies. That's the first like serious movie he's ever done. So that'd be kind of neat to see just for that reason.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not sold on Gosling.
What do you mean?
Everything I've seen him in, I've been kind of like...
Dude, you didn't see him in Drive?
I watched Drive. And you didn't? I got bored. I was kind of like, eh.
Really?
Really.
Because Drive is what won me over with him.
I mean, it was a good movie, but I was just kind of like, eh, whatever.
And who the freak doesn't fall in love with him in The Notebook? What's wrong with you? Do you just have like a Nazi robot heart or something?
I haven't seen Notebook either.
What? Well, DJ's leaving.
His podcast is ended.
Finally, now it can stop. In my
show. Big Murray's like, finally, my plan has worked. Now this podcast is mine to edit.
I just want to go on record saying we don't have to be logging Murray, but I couldn't find a third.
We're actually recruiting.
If anyone is in the LaFollette area and likes to talk about movies that are relevant,
I had Rudy, but
I don't think
of
that. Rudy, what did you think about this movie?
Change.
Nah.
All right.
Oh,
so now this leads us into our own Oscars. Each of us have created a list of top five things that we loved about 2015. So I guess what we'll do is we'll just go around the room. We'll each say
it's not just movies.
Well, that's true. No, you're right. It's not just... It's really, this is kind of more like our Golden Globes, because Golden Globes recognizes TV and movies.
This is just our top five entertaining things that we loved about 2000.
You know what it is? It's the Noted Awards. The Noted Awards, we get to do our own thing.
I like it.
Once a year, we get to say,
we'll have
the
to
Noted
do,
Awards.
We'll have to do better next year and be like favorite actor, favorite actress.
Absolutely, yeah.
Favorite costume design.
Yeah.
Make your own trophy.
Next thing you know, actors are coming here to accept the award. They give a speech and we'll thank my mom.
Hey, Brad Pitt. We won't play the music. Welcome to my room.
The little award they get is like a little notebook. It's like a little notepad. Oh, we can dream. So anyway, we'll each go around the room. We'll each say what was our five, and then we'll keep going like that. What was our four? What was our
that's three? What I was going to ask. That's a good idea.
Okay.
You know,
so
I feel like we're going to have some crossover.
That's fine. Yeah, and that's what we'll do is like, okay, if my five is the same as DJ's two, we won't just reiterate the same. We'll just be like, yeah, what we said.
Unless there's something else that you want to say.
Well, sure, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll all chime in on everybody's thing. So we'll go around the table. McMurray, do you want to go or you want DJ to go?
I can go.
What was your five?
My number five was Ant-Man.
Ah, nice.
I saw the previews. When I first heard about it, I was like, this is going to be, Ant-Man, really? But then I saw Paul Rudd, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I do like Paul Rudd. And then I heard all these people like, it's going to be so stupid, which kind of made me like, you know what? I'm going to like this. I just know it, because I like everything everyone else hates. Then we got to the theater. Every time we go to the theater, watch a movie, it's always packed on opening night. We went into Ant-Man, and it was maybe...
We all saw it together, didn't
we? Yeah, we all saw it together. It was like half full, if that.
That's true. Not a lot of faith in that movie.
And no. I loved it. Out of the Marvel movies, it's like 1A, 1B with Guardians.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I'll be
so
right
there.
I'm right there with you, kind of.
Because I don't know, maybe not all the Marvel movies, DC movies do, but like, they're gritty and like heavy, whereas Ant-Man and Guardians, because they're my favorite too, they're lighthearted. They have fun. I mean, comics are supposed to be fun. Let's like Watchmen. But,
but it had heart.
Yeah, it had heart.
Because you got the relationship between this dad and daughter. He's doing this all for his daughter.
And Baskin-Robbins knows everything.
And Baskin-Robbins knows everything. And then, of course, you have the amazing... I'll tell you who should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor is... So this one time, Michael Peña is
he is hilarious.
Dude should have been, give him all the trophies, all the awards. That dude killed it.
Yeah. I'm just going to say he's hilarious. He was great.
Sheen, he played Hank Pym.
No, Martin Sheen?
Martin Sheen, he played the elder.
Yeah, but that's not his name, is it?
I thought it was Martin Sheen. Sure.
McMurray, I'll look it up. You're an idiot.
Faces
the Ant-Man cast.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Gosh.
Martin Sheen is the name. I'm stupid.
We know.
One of my absolute favorite, or the thing I always point to with Michael Douglas, is the opening scene where they make him look young again.
Mm.
That to me is proof that, like, wow, CGI has reached... Like, we can bring people back from the dead. You know what I mean? Like, that is crazy.
I think they did that
crazy.
With already the Fight of Furious 7.
See, I've not seen it yet. That's what everybody says.
They did it with Tron Legacy with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people crap on that, though. I still think Tron Legacy is a great movie.
It's a good movie, but I'll say when they do his CGI, there's points that you can tell it's CGI. Most of the time, it looks super good. But there's points you're like, that's CGI.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
That was a minute ago.
I know. But what he was saying is we're at the point now where you can, the Furious 7, you can't tell where, you just can't.
You can't tell. It looks like they went in a time machine, got young Michael Douglas. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so.
My number five was Ant-Man.
My number five was Ant-Man, okay. So my, we'll go to me.
Did you guys have that on your list?
It is on my list.
Okay. It is not on mine.
Ant-Man made my list. So my number five is Kingsman. I thought Kingsman for me was like, it's written by a guy named Mark Millar, and I have a love-hate relationship with him. Some of the things he's written, I don't like. He wrote Wanted.
Mm.
It's the Wanted movie. I didn't care for it. And then, like, he did Kick-Ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass 2, I didn't.
So
it's just kind of a thing with me. It's like, I just never know what I'm going to get with him. So when I saw This one, I just had kind of low expectations, and holy crap, did that movie blow. Do you guys remember the church scene?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy crap. I am just a sucker for well-constructed action scenes.
I haven't seen it, so.
You haven't seen
the movie? Holy crap, you need to see that movie.
The church scene is awesome.
You need to see it. Like, for real, you must see that movie. So, and they're doing the Kingsman 2, which I'm super excited about. Yeah, so I hope they can get Colin Firth in it. Spoilers, I hope they can get him in it somehow. Yeah. I'm not going to say why, but I just hope they can get him in it. Because you need to see that movie. But really great movie. Probably has one of the best endings ever. I'm not going to say what it is.
When my mind, as soon as someone mentions that movie, that's what my mind
is. I mean, how can it not?
It's just that.
It's the most, like, you'll never see an ending like it.
No. Never. And you didn't expect it at all.
No.
That was so out of...
Totally uncalled for.
Just thinking that movie, it was nothing like that. Then boom.
Nothing leading up to it. It literally happens in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The girl's like, if you save me, you can fill in the blank. Yeah. And the guy's like, okay.
You gotta go save the world now.
I mean, it's... who's the villain? I'm spacing. He's like in every movie.
Samuel Jackson,
yeah. Dude kills it. His performance, and he has a lisp in the movie. He's hilarious. I mean, just everything about... I love the line, you know, that Colin Firth, the manners maketh a man. Mm-hmm. You know, just the whole thing. It's so good. So, anyway.
What role doesn't he kill, though?
That's what I'm saying. It's great. And the new guy, the young boy.
Yeah, he did really well.
He did good. You know who he... What movie he's in now? Have you seen the trailer for... I think we reviewed it on our trailer podcast. The Eagle... No, we didn't review it.
Yeah, we did.
Did we review
that? We did.
That's him.
Nate Murray.
Yes.
God damn it.
What's so weird? I'm not smelling it.
It's going directly under
it
the table. Coming up and smacking me right
now. I've got like the best seat in the house.
God.
Anyway.
Every time you make fun of me, I'm going to
poop. You're pooping.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them, people. I'm not really doing that.
All right, DJ.
My number 5 is a movie that you two haven't seen, The Hateful Eight.
I will see it soon.
Yeah, I mean...
If there wasn't any better movies out, it could easily take number 1 for me.
Yeah. Because
I loved watching it. I wanted to watch... I've watched it twice, because after I watched it, I had to watch it again. It got the Oscar for music, because it's Tarantino.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he always kills music.
The whole movie always leaves you guessing what's going to happen next. And you always think you know what's about to happen. And it's like, whoop, nope.
Yeah, that's Tarantino for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's...
He still got it.
And even though you go into the movie thinking that, all right, this is a Tarantino movie, I know that this isn't going to be the way... So your mind starts thinking... And it's still...
You're trying to think what...
You're trying to think like Tarantino would.
Yeah.
Because you're like, all right, I've seen his movies.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen. No, you don't.
That's why I love his movies. Because a lot of times I can go into a movie, I'm like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They always follow the same thing. But I love his movies because I can go into it. I quit trying to go into it thinking, trying to outsmart him.
Yeah,
I'm just
no,
like,
you're not going to.
I'm just like, hit me with it. I'm not even going
to... I think that's a game to play. That's a game that I like to play to try to figure out if I can guess what Tarantino is thinking.
Right.
I
yeah.
I blank my mind.
It's never happened.
Yeah.
That's
good. Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I need to see that film.
I was that way with Django because I saw it in the theaters. I'd already sat through Hobbit before that.
No.
It was like 3 hours of sludge, and I was exhausted. And went straight to 3 hours of Django. And I was just like, holy crap.
You don't have a life, do you?
No, I don't.
Because I was a little bit there with you. You should have done
that. Right.
You should have invited me.
But, I mean, it was just, I want to see this. Cause
yeah.
I can't, the only Tarantino film
I
don't really like is Kill Bill Volume 2. Every other movie he's done, I can watch over and over and over.
So you like Colt?
I hope it's not my favorite. Reservoir Dogs is still my favorite.
It's a lot of people.
You know, the thing about it is, like with Room, I had to kind of like pitch it to you guys and sell you on it. Like, you don't have to sell us on Tarantino. Like, that's all you got to sell.
I know.
It's like Tarantino. It's like, yeah, we know. We need to see it. You know what I mean? It's like
part of the reason I love him so much, even more than his movies, is like, and I talked to you about this, listen to him on the Nerdist podcast. Just listening to him get so excited about movies and listen to him like just expound on his knowledge of them.
Oh, yeah.
I could sit there and just listen to him.
Dude is he's like us. He's a super fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from near us too.
That's true.
This is completely off topic, but McMurray.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Kevin Smith?
I used to be a huge Kevin Smith fan. I've kind of fallen off. I'm kind of getting back into it. But
he was on. Luke has me watching the battle.
The Screen movie Junkie battle. Movie Fights.
Movie Fights, yeah.
I watched one of
he's
them.
He's on those occasionally. And he started talking about Star Wars. And his complaint about Star Wars was the same exact complaint you had of the Chewie after Han dies. How come we don't see anything with Chewie? And then like Leia walks right past him and stuff. And the whole time I was like thinking, he agrees with McMurray. I can't like him anymore.
Kevin Smith, no.
All right, Murray, number four.
My number four is Star Wars, Force Awakens.
Mm.
I mean, you thought it'd be higher than that, didn't you?
You're an idiot.
I have a question. That make all three of our lists?
That
make your list?
Yeah. I'm sure that's the one thing that's made all three of our lists.
What was it on your guys' list?
Mine was, it was number three for me.
Mine was number one.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Stole your thunder.
No, that's fine.
It's not a shocker, though. Then it may all
no, I'll tell you why I think it was my number one when you go. When
yeah, you go ahead.
I mean, how could it not be on your list? It
so true.
It's Star Wars. I like J.J. Abrams. It kind of washed the taste of the prequels out of my mouth. Was it the best Star Wars movie? No, but it was good. It set the next three movies up, just like a new world or shoot. Like episode four did.
New Hope.
New Hope, yeah, thanks. Spoilers, Chewie lives, so of course I'm happy. It's one of those, like, every Star Wars film, it's something that I've grown up with. It shapes me. Like, I remember the first time I watched Star Wars, and it just never left me. And this one's the same way, because anything out of that universe is going to just affect me in a different way that other movies don't, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the hype, you could taste it. It was so insane around this movie. There was so much weight on the shoulders of these people making this film, and they did it. I mean, I think that in itself is what makes this movie on all of our lists. It's like
another thing for me is the fact that when it was coming out, so I stopped looking at all the hype. I stopped looking at the new spoilers and teasers and all that stuff because I wanted to go into it just as
fresh
and blind as possible. I wanted everything to be new to me. Which that just, I don't know. So everything
stuff
wasn't spoiled for me. I could go into it like, whoa.
You know what's interesting is I did the same thing. Like, I saw like the first two trailers, then I stopped after that.
I think we talked to each other. It's like, hey,
yeah,
I'm going in this line.
But you know what's funny though? Like, after seeing the movie and then going back and watching, like, I don't think it would have mattered.
It wouldn't.
Yeah. I don't think it would have mattered.
No,
because
I watched most of them, and you still don't have a clue.
No, you wouldn't have a clue.
You have scenes, and then you go, I wonder what was going on there.
Yeah,
and that's. You don't know what's going on there. It makes you wonder what's going on there.
Yeah.
And that's they do so well with trailers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my goodness.
Gosh.
I mean, I just I don't know. It's weird to say this, but it's like I'm so thankful for that movie.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for it. It's just.
Go ahead.
No, I mean just.
I like that. I saw so many people complaining about it because it wasn't what they wanted, and this is something I'm pretty sure I talked about it on the first episode. But it wasn't for us. You know, it was for this new generation of people.
It was for everybody.
I was going to say,
for everyone.
It was for everyone.
it was for everyone, but they're setting up
because people. But that isn't that what makes the movie so brilliant? Because it services both.
Yes.
It services the fans of old. It services the fans of
To say they're not making it for us is stupid.
For us, but
no, it's not completely for us. It's not completely for other for the new generation. It's for everyone.
And neither will Episode 8, because Episode 8, like, will still have Luke Skywalker. It's still going to have that old cast. It's, I mean, it's not going to have someone.
No, he's already, he's this person signed on for 3, so he'll be in it.
Flashback, maybe. Flashback. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's a ghost.
But he's not dead.
Oh, we could just talk about Star Wars the rest of the
time. Yeah, really good.
We should probably just move on.
Yeah, since it's my number one, I'm going to talk about it for a second.
Okay, you go ahead.
How I judge my movies based on whether I really, really like them or not is whether or not they have me wanting to watch more. I could have watched 8, 9, 10 through 20 right there in that same theater back to back.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. Hateful Eight, you know, number 5 on my list. I can't really see me watch it. Like, there's, I want to watch more Tarantino films.
Yeah.
Like, Hateful Eight, man, there's nothing, whatever. Yeah. Star Wars, though, it was like Guardians of the Galaxy for me. I wanted to watch the next one immediately after because it was so good that it made me want to watch the next one. That's why, for me, it's my number one, because it's what's got me most wanting to watch the next ones.
Yeah, and you make a good point there, too. Like, it's very rare in 2016 that I find a movie. Like, I can remember when I was a kid, if I liked a movie, I would watch that movie over and over. But now we live in a day and age where a big movie comes out every week.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't do that anymore.
Nope.
But like Star Wars Episode 7 is the first movie in a long time that I cannot wait for the Blu-ray.
Watch it twice in theaters. I'll probably watch it twice on the day that it comes out.
I mean, that's a movie that I know for a fact will be like just on a loop in my house.
Oh, no, yeah.
I mean, and I'll never get sick of it. I mean, it's just...
It was one of... I have another movie on my list. But these two movies did something that normally only Tarantino movies do. And I was exhausted at the end of it. Because the whole time, I saw a freaking spoiler that told me that someone was going to die. And so the whole time, the first time I watched through it, I was thinking, oh no, it's going to be my favorite character. Not to spoil it. Even though it's been 2, 3, 4 months out.
Yeah, get over it, people.
We already had a spoiler. So if they listen to the podcast, they know.
Yeah, you should see it by now, people. Come on.
So the whole time, I kept thinking Chewie was going to die. And that kind of, I won't ruin my first time watching it, but the whole time I was thinking, oh God, is Chewie die here? But when I went back and watched it again, I was able to just sit back and be like,
kind of enjoy it.
Chewie's safe? Let's watch it.
Yeah. I just want to say this, that moment when Chewie, when Han does die, and the reaction that Chewie gives, the, you know, and then he shoots that boy. And, you know, it's just that thing of like, you know, this has been my friend for 40 years, and I don't give a crap that you are his son. I'm going to kill you. You know, I mean, that moment is so powerful to me.
He could have. He would have.
He shot him.
He was really far away.
Yeah, he was far away.
It's like... And he doesn't have a
smile. And that wasn't like it. That was like he was going for the kill. Like that was not like a, I'm just going to hurt him. I'm just going to hurt him a little bit. Like he was going to kill him.
I think there's more to it.
Well,
you're just more to
maybe
it.
Maybe not. But that moment was.
Doesn't
something.
Think he wasn't trying.
There's two moments in that movie that made me cry. It was the moment I'm describing right now. It was Chewie's reaction. It wasn't Han getting killed. It was just Chewie reacting to it. Because I was like, yeah, that's what a friend would do. Like, if he just saw his friend die, that's what he would do. And then the second moment, when Rey catches the lightsaber, I bawled. I was like, that is beautiful, dude. Like, I'm getting choked up now just talking about it.
It was beautiful.
I bawled when it was over because then I had to wait 4 years for I get to watch the next episode.
All right, Luke.
All right, my 4. I'm going to make this really quick. It was Ant-Man. DJ, what was your 4?
My number 4 my number 4 is Mad Max.
Oh, that's my number 3.
Mad Max, it was... I don't have a whole lot of memories of watching the older Mad Maxes. They were. It's quite a long time ago. I watched them because Dad liked them. I couldn't remember storyline or much of anything. So when I went into this one, I went into it kind of blind, pretty much. And it made me want to go watch the older ones because it was so good. Great acting. Just the whole thing was just awesome. You didn't know what was coming next. You were always just glued to the TV. Glued to the theater, wherever you've seen it, I was glued to the TV. But it was just a really damn good movie.
Okay. Mad Max was my number three. I watched Mad Max movies a lot. I've watched them, you know, recently before the movie. I love Mad Max. I love Road Warrior. I've watched Beyond Thunderdome, even though it's garbage. So I had familiarity with the movies. I was excited about it. I'd heard good things. The trailer, it came out, and I was blown away by it. Just that, oh, God, everything about it. So I went into it excited. I'd already heard it was good. It's one of the few times I've been in a theater, and I was legitimately on the edge of my seat with my arms on the back of the seat in front of me, just like holding my head, watching it, being like, whoa, you know. And I honestly, I didn't know who's going to live or die. I know Max or Furiosa were going to die. I was kind of like,
yeah.
I was literally just on the edge of my seat, and I loved it so much. The acting was good. He did a lot of practical effects, which I love. CGI, it does not age well. And a lot of times I watch it, I'm like, I can tell where it doesn't look good or something. So all the practical effects, just they look good. I don't know, man. I love that movie so much.
You know, supposedly what the rumor is behind that movie, Black Mass, the Johnny Depp movie, which didn't get nominated for a single thing, if the same studio that produced Black Mass also produced Mad Max, and they thought that Black Mass was going to be their Oscar movie. So what happened was they paid a lot of attention to that film because they were like, this is our Oscar movie. I mean, it's got Johnny Depp. Do you see what Johnny Depp's doing? Like, you know what I mean?
Johnny Depp doesn't have an Oscar, though.
And they completely, because of that, they ignored a 70-year-old man. By the way, the director of Mad Max, 70 years old, this dude, going out in the desert and shooting this crazy movie. And it gave him, because of Black Mass, it gave him the freedom to do whatever the freak he wanted to do. Like, think about it. How many movies do you know can get away with, like, so in this scene, Charlie, I'm thinking about, we're going to have a guy on the truck playing a guitar for no reason. And by the way, it's a flamethrower. You know what I mean? Like, most, like, producers with a brain would be like, what are you doing? What are we doing? That makes no sense. It's like, they let this 70-year-old man's imagination run wild. And that's why Mad Max is, you know.
Another thing I loved about it was, Max was hardly even a character in it.
He really, really was. I'll be honest with you. Like how you were with Star Wars, I have gripes with Mad Max because of what you're saying. Like, Mad Max was like the worst character of the movie. Like, he just kind of, he just fumbles and mumbles. It's really more Charlize Theron, who's really more kind of your...
Oh, she was definitely the star.
She really was.
I mean, the movie was about her, I feel.
I love seeing strong.
I do too. Oh, I love it too. It's like, why call it Mad Max? Give her the movie, you know. But of course, I know why they call it Mad Max, because that's what the rest of them are called. It's easier to.
That was one to sell.
Yeah.
Keep that
mind. Yeah, it's easier to sell it that way.
Yep.
All right.
As I said, my number three was.
So did you guys have the same three? That was that your three, or was that your?
That was his four. That was my three.
Four, that's your three.
So now it's your three.
So now my three, Star Wars, DJ, your three. Moving along, this really quick. We have to go eat, people, so.
My three is One Punch Man.
The
series. I knew you were going to react like that.
I did not think of that.
Interesting.
I had to actually go look, because I went into One Punch Man late. I had to go look and see when those came out, make sure they came out in 2015, and they did. They came out in October. Oh my gosh.
Have you watched them yet?
I have seen the first two episodes, and it's really great. It's really, I mean,
so much fun.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Just like Star Wars, it's got me wanting more episodes right now.
Yeah.
I want to see more episodes now, which I've looked today. They're supposed to be coming out late this year. And I'm like,
super creative idea.
Oh my gosh.
Very creative.
And I can't wait for you to watch the rest. Like, once you start getting to feel to feel One Punch Man, get to know what his character exactly is, because it's so funny.
Yeah.
And great action all the time.
But yeah.
The humor in that movie, or the humor in that series, though, is what kills me. That's why I love it.
Yeah.
It's got the action of, like, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Except way funnier.
Yeah.
And it doesn't try to be funny. Like, I mean, I know they're trying to be funny, but it's not like they're telling jokes to be funny.
Yeah, no.
It's reaction type stuff.
Because the situation in of itself is hilarious. The concept is hilarious.
The look on his face.
The looks on his face.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the whole premise, the idea, if you can't gather from the title, One Punch Man. He can literally take out an enemy in one punch.
Yes.
And it's kind of a lonely life being somebody that can do that. I mean, he can't.
His quest is to try to find an opponent.
What are the adversary? An
opponent that can take a punch.
They can take a punch. I mean, it's like, that idea alone is just brilliant.
I love it.
I agree.
I'm absolutely so ashamed of myself for not thinking of that. Oh my God.
One punch. Well, it's kind of like, you know, if you did Superman, but Superman does not have kryptonite.
Yeah.
There's no way
no
to...
No joke. Yeah, there's... I want to talk more... I would love to talk more about that. Like, I have a One Punch Man podcast.
That'd be cool.
The reason I'm not right now is because you haven't seen it. And that's something I do not want to spoil for you, but there's
we'll
so many parts I'd love to talk about that
show. How many episodes total?
There's 12.
Well, over 13.
Oh, so I don't have that many.
No.
So I get caught up real
and they're
fast.
And they're super easy to watch.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll watch those, and we'll do that. That'd be cool.
Okay, so that was your number three. So my number two was Ash versus Evil Dead.
Nice.
And the reason I have that above those movies is like 2 hours right then, and it was over. Where Ash versus Evil Dead was 10 episodes, so I've got 10 hours of a series that I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
I love Evil Dead.
Yeah.
The two, Army of Darkness. It wasn't as good, but the remake, I enjoyed that as well. It's just, if you love Bruce Campbell, if you love the Ash character, you'll love this. They jump right into it, right from the start. It's just, it's a blast.
If you're a fan of that series or those movies, it's everything you would ever want.
Go ahead. I don't even know if I've watched the original movie. I'm not sure. I know I watched the remake. But Luke and Michael got me wanting to watch Ash vs. Evil Dead. I didn't watch the whole series. I'm bad at watching series, especially when they're coming out this year and I have to watch them on TV. That doesn't happen. I don't even...
Yeah.
You're
more of a binging. You like to binge it.
I love to binge.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched them all yet. I will. But the episodes that I watched, I loved them.
Yeah.
They were hilarious.
It's over the top. And it's everything. It's like, it's funny, it's scary, it's got everything you would ever want in anything.
Really. I love that Sam Raimi's behind it.
Yeah.
He directed the first episode, but he's still like the executive producer or whatever, and the owner and all that. It was nice to see what he could do when he had a budget.
Right.
And he had Nolan being like, no, you can't do that. Because Stars was over the moon to have him.
Oh, I know.
So they had to be like, you do whatever you want.
And you bring up a good point. Like, how many times have you heard about an idea where you'll have, like, the actors on board, but, like, the director don't want to do it? And you're like, come on, dude. Like, did you know this? Like, with Firefly, the entire cast is ready. They're like, we're ready. Mm-hmm. We want to come back. But Joss Whedon is like, no. Nah. You know, and I mean, and it does. It kills you because you just want to be like, come on. So that's why I think Evil Dead in of itself is amazing, because it's like everyone's on board. Everyone's cool with it. Like,
you could tell that they were just having fun.
Oh, yeah, they're having fun.
I don't know if it's the extra word, but
right.
Just from watching it, it's like they're having a blast doing that.
Oh, sure.
It's just, it's goofy. It's sort of scary, but it's good.
Yeah. Well,
what's your number two?
My number two is The Flash season one finale. So one episode. The entire season's incredible. Do you guys watch The Flash? Mm-hmm. No.
I do not.
The Flash season one finale is absolutely amazing. Basically, The Flash, just like any superhero, you know, it always deals with love and tragedy. You know, boy gets bit by a spider, Uncle Ben dies. You know, boy's parents die, he becomes Batman. You know, it's always shrouded in that. You know, planet blows up, guy becomes Superman. The Flash it's a love story between him and his mom. And his mom gets killed, right, gets murdered. And so this boy grows up and his dad gets put in prison. What happens is the mom gets murdered, right? The dad gets accused of it, gets put in prison. So he basically loses both of his parents. Mm-hmm. So the boy then gets adopted by his best friend's father. And he grows up, goes to college. He becomes a forensic scientist, forensic analyst for a police, department. Dedicates his entire life trying to solve who murdered my mom. You know, he knows his dad's innocent. He's trying to prove his innocence. You know. Meanwhile, there's this place called Star Labs, right? And they're creating this thing called the Particle Accelerator. Particle Accelerator explodes, causes a lightning storm. Lightning bolt hits Barry Allen and creates the Flash.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Particle Accelerator, it sends out this energy wave.
Right.
And it hits a lot of different people, giving them powers as well. So that's kind of how you get your villain of the week, And, so he becomes the Flash or whatever. Well, anyway, there's this guy that works at Star Labs, and his name is Dr. Wells. Dr. Wells takes Barry under his wing. He trains him, works with him on his speed, how to get faster, blah, blah, blah. So I'm saying all this to lead up to the finale, why it's so good. So he, basically trains him to become the Flash. So once he becomes the Flash, he basically figures out who it is that kills his mom. Ironically, it's Dr. Wells, the guy who trained him.
Oh.
Dr. Wells is a well-known villain in the Flash mythos known as Reverse Flash.
Oh.
Reverse Flash is the, as you can tell from the title, the polar opposite of the Flash.
That sounds like it'd be terrible.
You know, people always say that about, Batman and the Joker. They're like, oh, they're polar opposites. It's like, whenever has anyone thought, what's the opposite of a bat? A clown. It's like, they're not really opposite. I mean, yes, Joker represents chaos, Batman's justice, but you know what I'm saying. Reverse Flash is his opposite in every single way. Reverse Flash was a guy from the future, way in the future. And he comes from a time when Flash is dead, like been dead for a long time. So his whole life, it would kind of be like if you're LeBron James, right? And everyone's always like, you'll never be good as Michael Jordan. And he's like, I'm going to go back in time and prove to you. I'm going to play Michael Jordan in his prime and prove to the entire universe that I'm better than Michael Jordan. So that's what Reverse Flash does. He goes back in time, fights the Flash, and loses every time. Flash beats him every time. So the Reverse Flash is like, how can I beat this guy? I know what I'll do. I'll go back in time and kill him when he's a little boy. That way, I'm the best Flash there ever is. That Flash never existed, but I'm the best, So he devises this plan. He goes back in time to kill the little boy, but the Flash from the future goes back in time, stops him, and saves young Barry Allen. So what Reverse Flash does in that moment is to say, okay, well, I can't kill you, so I'll kill your mom. So he kills the mother. That's how the mom died. That's why the father got accused. So it's this, it's a big circle, right?
It's crazy.
So all this leads up to the finale, the best episode ever. So basically, how are we doing on time?
We're good. Go ahead.
We're good. Okay, so this all leads up to the finale.
Terrible.
Are we really? So anyway, this all leads to the finale. Basically, Flash gets the opportunity to go back and save his mother. And he goes back to save his mom. When he goes back in time, he sees his mother, and, you know, he sees what's happening the night that his mom died, and when young Barry was there, when Reverse Flash and, you know, Flash from the future are fighting. And he doesn't get to save her because the Flash from the future tells him no. Because if you save, you know, if you save your mom, then everything, you will change everything. You will never become the Flash. You will never have this relationship with Iris. You'll change the future as you know it. And so it's just beautiful. Like, you just have to watch it, because even though he doesn't get to save his mom, he gets a chance to tell her goodbye. You know, and it's just this beautiful moment where he gets to go out there and he's like, he takes his mask off, and she's like, she's looking up at him, and she's like, "You look like my father." And he's like, "It's me, Mom. It's Barry." And he's like, "I can't explain it." And he's like, "You know, but I got to come here." And she's like, "But guess what? I turn out okay. Dad turns out okay." You know, and it's just this really beautiful scene that's like where he gets to tell his mom goodbye. And it's beautiful. I mean, you know, if anyone has ever...
This sounds really sad. Makes me.
It's cry. Very sad. If anyone's ever lost a loved one, you will really connect with this episode. And I know people all the time, you know, they make comments like, "Oh, comic books, they're so stupid," you know, blah blah blah. No, they're not. You know what I mean? Because this show is directly based off the comic, and they nailed it. Anyway, that's my spiel about Flash. It was great. So, what was your number four? Or number two, yeah.
I'm all sad. My number two is Creed. But I'm not going to talk about it.
Why?
Because it's your number one.
How'd you see that? Oh, yeah, I showed you earlier.
So, so we're going to go to McMurray's number two.
My number two was Ashford's Evil Dead.
Or your one.
Number one.
My one was not a movie or a show. It was NASA's New Horizons Pluto flyby. All
right, let's talk about Creed.
Man, I thought I was boring you guys with the Flash.
Go ahead. I was very interested as well. I'm just giving you a...
This was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Just, I can't wrap my head around the math and everything they did to get this satellite to just fly by a planet that's so many millions and millions and millions of miles away. And the images they brought back just blew my mind. I never thought about Pluto looking like that. I never knew what Pluto would even look like. And every single day, like, I would be at work, everything else would be put to the side, because they were doing stuff every day, and every day I would be on NASA's website watching their streams and just glued to it, because I wanted to know everything I could. Even now, whenever they come back out with, like, new images of the moons and anything, even not even just Pluto, just...
Agreed.
So they got all the things going around Saturn and Jupiter and all this other stuff. It launched 17 years ago, so I was alive when it launched. And to finally see it happen, and to see something that they've been waiting for so long, it blew my mind. And
it's not our once-in-a-lifetime event, though, because it's so important that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's super important that that happened. And it's awesome that that happened. But we're creating new technology every day that we're going to be on Mars.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be on Mars in less than 20 years.
That Matt Damon Martian movie is a true story.
Yep.
But do you think they're going to send another thing out to Pluto?
I think we'll be sending stuff out further than Pluto.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for Pluto, that's... I can't see them putting resources into another flyby for Pluto.
In our lifetime?
So, in our lifetime. I don't think
yes.
I mean, I agree with you, definitely, but in our lifetime.
So I think next...
Well, okay, well, we're I'm not talking about Murray here. Yeah. Mine your lifetime. Murray's a little over there. He's on his last leg. Our lifetime, yes.
You think so?
Definitely.
When we're old men?
No. So I say, thinking, what do you call old men?
Like 70, 80.
No.
Old man.
60s.
Yeah.
50s, 60s latest. I think we'll have people on Mars by the time we're 50.
I agree with that. Because we're already, working on that.
Yeah, right? That's the next big thing, though.
SpaceX that's what they're super interested in. That's what Elon Musk wants to do so bad. He wants to be on Mars. You know how SpaceX got created? This is going to be very short. SpaceX got created because Elon Musk wanted to do an image on Mars. He wanted to send a rocket to Mars that had a rover on it that would put a plant on, green plants on Mars, and then take a picture and send it back. He only wanted to do that to spark people's interest in space. Look, this can happen. So he went to Russia to buy a rocket and was like, what? Rockets are this expensive? No, I'm going to go make my own rocket company and make rockets for the tenth of the price that you can do. And, my rockets are going to be reusable. I'm going to be amazing. Russia sucks.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what Elon did.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I still think Pluto's going to be once in our lifetime thing, just because everything had to be perfect. Because they didn't just shoot it straight out.
Okay, what you're saying, though, is they were perfect 17 years ago. They can be even more perfect today without even trying.
But it's not about us.
They can land something on it.
It was about the planets being in the right place at the right time. Because they shot it at Jupiter, did an orbit around Jupiter, and used that as momentum shooting.
I understand.
Even farther up Pluto.
They won't have to do that, though.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. That's
crazy. The math and everything behind that was ridiculous.
But Pluto's orbit is 200 years?
It is ridiculous.
That is crazy.
Yeah, they had to do a lot of wicked stuff. But what I'm saying is that's what they had to do. They had to use Jupiter. I'm saying that they probably won't have to do that later.
I hope I'm wrong. I want to see everything.
You and a babe on Pluto.
Oh, no. Because it's like negative 200 degrees Celsius or whatever.
You would be like, you see this ice? This came from Pluto. That's the future right there.
I can sit this in my yard for 100 days. It's not going to melt because it's so cold.
All right. Well, clearly you guys could talk about this for 3 hours, so we need to move on. So I'm going to talk about, so that was your one.
No, my one.
My one is Creed, which was your two. We'll briefly talk about Creed. Creed was phenomenal. I saw Creed 2 weeks ago. I was late to the game, and it made my number one, dude.
Yeah.
My number one favorite movie of 2015.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why it made it over Star Wars. Both of those movies are very similar. You got two movies that are a sequel to something that was 30 years ago. And the difference is, my wife, she hadn't seen any Star Wars movies. So I was like, well, you got to get educated, because you're not going to know what's going on. So I had her watch all six movies. Then we saw episode 7. Here's the thing about Creed. Yes, if you see the Rocky movies, will you appreciate it more? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have to?
No.
You don't need to see Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4 and the Rocky Battle to enjoy it like you do Star Wars. Creed is a movie of its own. It's perfect from beginning to end. Where this episode 7 feels like a sequel, Creed, it's more enjoyable if you've seen it, but it doesn't feel like a sequel. It's its own film. And I think just Stallone, dude, he just killed it. He killed it in that movie.
Yeah,
he did such a great job. He got robbed at the Oscars. He should have got it. He got a Golden Globe, but he should have got the Oscar. Not to take anything away from the guy that got it, but definitely should have got it. And what a beautiful story that would have been. You know, he got an Oscar for Rocky. The very first Rocky he won it. How cool would that have been to end his career out? To get it for Rocky Balboa again.
Yeah.
Would have been awesome.
For Black Rocky.
For Black Rocky.
One for White Rocky, one for Black Rocky.
We need to just title this episode
Black Rock.
Yeah, controversial. The controversial episode. But, you know, yeah, I mean.
I'm just going with this. I don't want
Yeah, I know. Gosh. But, yeah, Creed, just perfect movie for me. I've actually seen it 3 times since I watched it.
Really? I've seen it twice. I really liked it, too.
Loved it. Every character in that movie is fighting for something.
The reason it wasn't higher for me than Star Wars is because it didn't have that I want to see more right now. I felt like that story was, it's done.
Yes and no.
I felt the story was done.
Yes and no.
I don't want that strung out even more.
Oh, okay. Well, I get what you're saying. It is a complete story. However, I'm going to spoil the ending by saying, well, you know what happens.
Right.
He needs to.
Right.
I'm speaking in code. Everybody's not seeing it, so yeah.
I know what you're saying.
So that needs to happen in the sequel.
But I feel like he did.
He did and he did. It's like Rocky won. He did and he didn't. I get what you're saying, yeah. I know. But anyway, it's my one. I love
it. If they do it again, they make more. I don't want Rocky in it.
I would be fine with that. I would be fine with
that. I want it to actually be about Creed.
Oh, I agree. I think if they say Rocky's in the next one, I'm not going to be like, boo. Yeah, of course I'll be fine with it. But if they're like, he's not in it, I'll be like, good. Because yeah, that was a perfect ending for him.
I want this to be
about
him.
I agree.
Because he is a great actor, did a wonderful job.
I absolutely agree.
Didn't get any kind of Oscar recognition, but
who gives a crap?
Rocky did.
That was the perfect ending for Rocky Balboa.
I want some of the spotlight taken off of Sylvester, and I want that movie to be about Creed to bring it back.
I agree.
For sequel. All
right, you're one. What was your one?
He's one of Star Wars.
Oh, so we talked about it.
Do you want to say anything else about Star Wars?
I do not, but I want to do kind of an honorable mention.
Okay. I was about to say, I have 2 questions. One, first, we don't have to explain them, but just list our honorable mentions. Okay, I'll go first.
You go ahead. Yeah, you go first.
My honorable mentions were Jurassic World, Inside Out, and these next two are on Netflix.
I mean, you have
4. Turbo Kid.
I said 1.
Turbo Kid. He named 1 of them.
And Dope.
Oh, I didn't see Dope. Dope's good. Really good. Is it Dope?
It's dope.
So dope. My honorable mention, this is probably no surprise, people know me, it's Avengers 2. Yeah. And just for the simple fact that I'm a geek, that's really all I have to say.
The one I wrote down is Jurassic World. I'm surprised it didn't make any of our top 5, actually. Now, you're talking about one of the highest grossing movies of all time, and it didn't make our top 5.
Looking back on it.
But it's your honorable mention.
Right.
Super good movie.
Looking back on it after watching it again, I don't even think it's that good of a movie. But I love the series so much, and I had so much fun watching it. Like, I had fun when I saw it.
Why are we friends with
him? I don't know. Okay, I have one more.
God dang it.
What was the worst thing you saw last year?
Oh, God.
Well, Spotlight.
Spotlight.
I already talked about it. It's my best movie, and I hated it.
My worst was Ridiculous 6.
Oh, that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
Very
rarely.
I want to change mine.
Very rarely do I watch a movie, and I'm sitting there thinking, why am I torturing myself?
Oh, but man.
I've watched it so much, I was like, I'm just going to grit my teeth and bear it out.
I never laughed.
It was so stupid. It made fun of mentally challenged people. It was just garbage. It was just
horrible. Well, I think you had such high hopes.
No, I didn't.
No, I did, because you're thinking it's Netflix. Netflix doesn't do anything.
And it's the great cast.
And this is going to be the movie. Yeah, great cast. And this is going to be the film that brings back Adam Sandler. That makes me like an Adam Sandler movie.
What has he done that's been good since Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison?
I like 50 First Dates.
Another 10.
He's done good movies, but my thing is that he's done horrible movies too, and that's what I'm saying. I was like, this is gonna be the one though. This is gonna be the one. It's gonna be, dude. I agree. Terrible movie.
I haven't watched it. not playing.
You don't need to.
I'm not going to.
You don't need to.
Worst thing I watched in 2015, Tennessee versus Oklahoma.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Or Tennessee versus Florida.
Or Tennessee versus
any big opponent they play.
Any big opponent that they played and lost to.
Oh, that's 2015.
All right, guys. Well, anyway, that's our Oscar, our top five, our 2015 episode, the Noted Awards episode for 2015. We got to go eat.
I am starving.
Are you guys good? Are we ready? Yes. You've been noted, son.